This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, the plight of hundreds of local families who could see their homes sold in the next few weeks. But first, the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce holds its annual Women's Initiative Breakfast next Wednesday. Dr. Deborah Clary, Corporate Director for the Leadership Institute at Humana, is going to be the keynote speaker at the breakfast. She'll be talking about strategies and techniques on how to shine during challenging and unpredictable times. Dr. Clary will be joining us shortly. Right now, we're going to talk with Wanda Winkler, who's Executive Vice President of the Brighton Center, and she's the chair of the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Women's Initiative. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Good afternoon, Wanda. Good to see you.
Good afternoon.
Tell us about the Women's Initiative.
Absolutely. The Women's Initiative is a part of the Northern Kentucky Chamber, and we are created to provide opportunities for women to connect, grow, and achieve, to see business success. And over the years, we started in 2008, but we have really grown to provide a pretty comprehensive portfolio of programs and services to support the professional growth and development of women. In the space of Connect, we provide monthly Connect hours, which is usually the last Monday of each month, where women can come together and get an opportunity to build relationships and network and create really important connections that will help support not only their growth and development needs, but that of their business. And so that's an important thing we do monthly. Of course, the annual breakfast that we're doing next Wednesday is an important part of that. That is a signature event for the Women's Initiative. We do offer that. This is our ninth year. It's the second largest event that the Northern Kentucky Chamber holds. So we have hundreds of men and women coming together to provide opportunities not only for networking, but to recognize and honor a woman who supported the growth and development of other women and the Women's Initiative. So we're excited to do that. And then, of course, Dr. Deborah Clary will be there to be able to provide an inspirational and educational keynote address. So we're really excited about that. We do hold an annual golf outing, which is an opportunity to build relationships and networking and a fun environment on the course. In the space of growing, we do an awful lot to support one-on-one development of women. And we have a Grow Mentoring Program, and we match women who are looking at professional growth and development opportunities one-on-one with a mentor who's willing to support them to achieve their goals and their aspirations. We also do a professional series, which we offer. The next one is coming up in March. It'll be on implicit bias in the workplace. And that really is an opportunity to provide an educational format. There's a little bit of networking that's a part of it, but really does help advance the educational needs of women.
And this, the key word here is networking.
Absolutely.
This is all about networking and growth.
Absolutely. I think building those relationships and, you know, having that interaction and the confidence that comes from those relationships and the resources that come from that to build not only your personal network to help with your success, but that of your business as well.
And how many, you said it's been going on since 2008. Typically, mm-hmm. You get about several hundred people attending the annual breakfast. Is this for anyone in the greater Cincinnati area, or is it just for people in Northern Kentucky?
Oh, absolutely. For the region, we welcome not only women to the Women's Initiative Annual Breakfast, but men as well. So we do have folks that come. We've had well over 600 to 700 individuals in attendance, which, like I shared, was the second largest event for the chamber. But it really is something that we want active attendance and participation regionally as well.
And we're joined now by Dr. Deborah Clary. Good afternoon, Dr. Clary. Good to
afternoon.
See you.
Thank you
for
you.
Being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
Tell us about the role that you're going to be playing at the Women's Initiative Annual Breakfast. What's your message going to be about?
Well, my key role is going to be the chief encourager. So my role is to share with the group some ideas about how to really enhance their leadership capabilities. And my talk is going to be around hope, which I call the secret elixir of leadership.
The mindset of hope, I believe, is the other thing that I've heard it called.
Yes.
What exactly does that mean, mindset of hope?
So how I look at this, I first sort of take a bigger view of that in order to be inspiring, you first must be in its presence. And hope inspires creates inspiration. And so the Hope Mindful Step is about a positive attitude and expecting outcomes. And I know you say, oh, this has been around for years and years. This isn't anything that's really new. But I don't think we've looked at it from the angle of hope and the optimism that we carry inside of ourselves.
Yeah, you're talking about like the power of positive thinking that you always hear people talk about. So this goes beyond that.
Yes, I think it's additive to positive thinking. And I describe hope in terms of an action verb. I mean, it is massive action behind it. It is not about sitting back and wishing you had the feelings or hoping that something else is going to come along, but it's about having this positive outlook, but then putting a massive action plan around making those things come true.
Tell us a little bit, a bit about your background, Dr. Cleary.
Yeah, so I was the first person in my family to go to college. And after undergrad, I went on to grad school, and with high hopes and lots of aspirations, my first job was driving a route truck for Frito-Lay in the city of Detroit. So when people say they started at the bottom, I definitely started at the bottom. But what I loved about starting there was it gave me this amazing business acumen. Because when you're running a route, you're actually running a small business out of the back of a route truck. And you have clients, and you have to manage your inventory and the operations, and you have to balance your inventory at the end of the week. And when I would go to happy hours with my girlfriends who were working for P&G and other great consumer products companies, what they were learning and what I was learning was completely different. Now, they knew I worked at Frito-Lay. They thought I had a similar role. They didn't know I drove a route truck because I would change in my car before I met them at the bar. But that's really where I started, was on a route truck, and had amazing experiences and learnings in terms of driving that truck.
And you've also worked with Coca-Cola?
Yes. And then I spent a decade with Frito-Lay, not all on the route. I managed to graduate off that route. And then I spent a decade with Coca-Cola, both in Atlanta and in some international roles. And then from there, I moved up to Louisville and worked for Brown-Forman, the makers of Jack Daniel's. It's where I learned my passion for bourbon. I was their VP of strategy. And then while I was there, I got really interested in leadership and what made leaders great. So I had an opportunity to work with these Fortune 50 companies and great leadership. And then I moved to Brown-Forman, where it was a family-run, a smaller organization. It was $5 billion, but it was smaller than what I was accustomed to. And I got really curious about what made leaders great. Why do some leaders really thrive in the midst of chaos and uncertainty while others really crumbled? And I wanted to just be a better leader, and I wanted to be able to share what I learned. So I went back for my doctorate in leader development. And then after that graduation, I went to work for Humana Healthcare and began to run their Leadership Institute. We were working with leaders that want to increase their impact and contribution to the organization.
And so you made this big shift from being a driver to being in management. That's just amazing. How did that work out?
Well, the thing about it is it taught me the value of hard work and the value of an education. So when you're driving a route, the only way you get off that route is if you do a good job. I mean, no matter if you had a degree, a graduate degree, they always just said it depends on how well you're able to service your customers, grow your revenue, and then advanced into management from that. But what it did is it taught me a significant amount of business acumen, the ability to work hard. But when I got off the route and started managing the route drivers, I had credibility because I'd walked in their shoes. And it was a huge lesson I learned at a very young age.
So let's go back to when you were talking about you have to, you just can't acquire a positive attitude. You have to take some action in order to develop this mindset of hope. What are some specific things that you can do to develop that mindset of hope?
So there are what we call the seven hope quotients, seven things that you can do to help you raise your hope quotient. The first is looking at your life and saying, am I recharging my batteries every day? Am I walking around sick and tired? I don't have any energy. So it's about recharging your batteries every day. And ways that you can do that, there is this study that just came out called the 8 Before 8. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't. Tell us more about it, though.
So they, as we're always trying to look at what makes leaders great, there was a study that went out and interviewed the top CEOs in America. These are the top CEOs in terms of revenue growth within their organizations. And they found out that they do 8 things before they come to work at 8 in the morning. The first thing is they don't check technology. They're not reaching over before they get out of bed to grab for their phone. There's no technology. Because they said, when I pick up my phone and I begin to look at emails and messages, it starts my day in this chaotic way. I begin to say, well, I've got to answer this. I have to respond to that. Oh, there is an issue with that. And I don't start my morning in a calm, intentional way. So no technology. The second is drinking warm lemon juice. And what lemon juice does, the warm lemon juice, what it does, it actually creates energy both physically and mentally all day long. So just a small glass of warm lemon juice will give you that energy. The next is, not going to be a surprise here, working out. So little as 10 minutes a day will increase your mindset, your hope. It actually has been proven to help strengthen the flight tendency that we have, and that it soothes the brain to stay more focused. Then the next is mindfulness, meditation that you just talked about. So meditating and getting set. And then from there, it's about setting your goals for the day and then being very specific about your goals. It's not just saying these are the high-level things I want to get done, but it's also about putting some actions around that. The next thing is eating a good breakfast. People that eat a good breakfast are healthier and more productive and more creative. And then lastly, it's about understanding and being clear on what you're going to say no to during the day. Because just having the power to say
the power of no.
So you probably are, someone might say to you, do you think that we can meet this afternoon, or do you would like to go out for a drink this afternoon? And in your head, you're saying, there's no way I'm going to do that. But you say things like, let me think about it, or can I let you know later? Versus in the moment, just saying, no, I regret, I can't do that, but thank you for asking me. There's so much power in saying no, and then it opens up space to do the things that you want to do.
So 8 things you do before 8 o'clock.
8 before 8, yes.
We will continue our conversation, and you can join us, 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Dr. Deborah Clary joins us today, along with Wanda Winkler, Executive Vice President of the Brighton Center and Chair of the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Women's Initiative. You can join us, 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. When you were first starting off as a driver and as you rose and went into management, Dr. Clary, did you have somebody who was a mentor to you, somebody who helped you along the way through the tough times?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I've had multiple mentors. Certainly my parents are mentors to me, but in terms of the business perspective, I had an individual when I was first starting out. And matter of fact, he was from Cincinnati, Ohio, named Bill McGrain. And this was long before executive coaching was popular. And he really poured into me. He listened. He asked me questions about what I wanted for my life, what I wanted for my career, and gave me some really good guidance and some principles to live by. So that was my beginning of a mentoring relationship that started me on my path of really understanding how coaching and development can work.
And when you were going through a difficult time, did you oftentimes think back to what he had told you and the things he taught you?
Absolutely. It runs through my head, even to this day, even though that was in the 1990s. He had such a powerful impact on me that I stay anchored in the principles that he taught me.
And Wanda, along your way, any mentors for you as you started working with the Brighton Center and all the experiences that you've had in the workplace?
Absolutely. I've been really fortunate to have some really trusted advisors, people that I've sought their counsel, not only internally within my organization, but externally. Specifically, though, inside my organization, I've been really fortunate over the last 25 years that I've been at the center to have someone who has a sense of integrity that I can really trust and that I can be vulnerable with. I think no matter what your age or stage of life, that, you know, we're all works in progress and we're seeking, you know, to be able to have goals and continue to aspire to grow and develop. And for me, having that sounding board, having that ability to, you know, put out a little bit, not only about my hopes and aspirations, but fears and insecurities that might come, particularly as you start doing direct service and you're entering your career and you want to be able to move up and you want to be able to advance and to be able to talk through important things along the way, like supervising people for the first time and what that looks like in delegation and really building out your skills in a broad sense of leadership and how you can truly model the way. And so I think that's a really important part of helping people, you know, be able to, you know, do some self-reflection and to be able to look at things that they can do to advance not only their own personal and professional growth and development, but to have that confidence to be able to take that next step and to have somebody who believes in you and will support you along the way.
So it sounds like there's a difference between training and mentoring. Can you talk about that, Dr. Cleary?
Yes, sure. So training typically is someone enters into trainings because they're trying to develop a specific capability or a skill, where mentoring is about someone looking at the whole person, all of your capabilities, all of your desires, and there's that's the delineation between the two. Training is for specific development, and mentoring is really for a long-term development of your career and your capabilities.
In your experience, how well do companies do at creating and supporting internal mentoring programs?
Well, we know that about 25% of American corporations have formal mentoring organizations or programming. It's very important in terms of being able to attract and retain top talent as well as diverse talent. So we see that when we're able to assign mentors and create that mentoring relationship, we have longer productivity and stay longer than if you don't.
Mm-hmm. Wanda, what makes a good mentor?
Well, I think it's somebody who's willing to take their lessons learned in life and being willing to share it. These are folks that are willing to make a commitment, invest time, provide some level of consistency, and ensure really good communication. You know, through the North Kentucky Chamber, we have the Grow Mentoring Program, and we do one-on-one matches, and we spend a little time up front really understanding what a mentee is looking for and what they hope to aspire to do. But then that match with the mentor is extremely important. And usually it's someone who wants to have a positive influence, that wants to share their lessons learned and really wants to make a difference and give back. And if they can do that in a trusted environment that provides confidentiality, which provides a space for people to be vulnerable, then it really is, a win-win. We have mentors who often say, I've gained probably as much or more than I thought, just alongside the mentee saying the same thing. You know, so somebody willing to take their life lessons and share them and realize they have something to give.
And do they have to be an expert in a particular topic?
I think people have expertise in different elements of their life and in their career and something that they can be able to share. We've had mentees who were making changes in second stage from one career to another who are the same age with a mentor that they have. And so they're looking at the opportunity to be able to figure out, well, how do I go from this industry to another industry? So I really do think, the experience that people have and what they can bring to the table, mentors, need to be willing to provide that time and consistency and continuity and communication and support.
Dr. Cleary, what about the importance of women mentors, especially in light of the revelations that have been coming out from the Me Too movement?
Yeah, absolutely critical, as I had said earlier, in terms of if organizations are really interested in retaining and developing women and people of color, then these formal mentoring programs or even informal mentoring programs are really critical. We find that typically in mentoring relationships, it's a man will choose a male and a female will choose a female. And just because they feel safe and they look alike and so they feel like they have similar and common interest, But I think in terms of real shifts that occur is if we begin to see men and women mentoring each other to be able to share their feelings and background about what is appropriate in the workplace and how can you move through the challenges that we're having.
Well, and for us at the Chamber and the Women's Initiative, our GROW program focuses on the professional development of the mentee, and the mentee has to be female. The mentor, though, may be or may not be a chamber member, but could be a man or a woman. And so the mentee has the opportunity to select the relationship to which they feel most comfortable. But I think that relationship of having a place to be able to bring any issues or concerns forward and get some trusted advice and counsel is particularly important in this time as well. That might give someone enough confidence to be able to bring any issues or concerns they have forward within their company.
Dr. Cleary, what's the connection between storytelling and leadership? How important are the two things?
I think they're very important. So you'll find that great leaders are also great storytellers. And how you're able to move an organization or move your team is by connecting with them emotionally. And we connect with people emotionally through stories. The brain is designed to conceptualize material that you're hearing in pictures. And so storytelling evokes this kind of emotion and the ability to influence them to take action.
Okay. And it's also a good way of laying out your vision for the company, too, I would take it.
Yeah. Yes.
So just an example, when things go bad, how do you get back in the right frame of mind to push through and get things back on track? You have any specific examples from your own career?
Yes, it happened this morning, as a matter of fact, in terms of I made a mistake this morning. And this is something I've been doing for a long period of time, but I made a mistake. And I corrected it, and then I sat back, and my first instinct was to try to beat myself up over this. And I said, wait a minute. This is a lesson to say, even though you've been doing this a long time and you're really competent, you're human. And so it's an indication for me is that I still have to pay attention to those things that I'm doing, even though I think I know how to do them. So it's one of what I do is I correct it, I then reflect on it, and I say, I got the lesson.
And you move on.
Move on.
Dr. Cleary, thank you so much for joining us. And Wanda, thank you for joining us too. Dr. Deborah Cleary, who's Corporate Director for the Leadership Institute at Humana, and Wanda Winkler, Executive Vice President of the Brighton Center and Chair of the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Women's Initiative. The Women's Initiative Annual Breakfast is going to be held next Wednesday morning from 7 to 9:30 at the Northern Kentucky Convention Center. Reservations are required, and you can find a link to more information at wvxu.org.